Hello, everybody, and welcome. We are Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and we're here again, Lizzie. It's our 451st week of Turning Towards Life together, which is wonderful and exciting, and I'm so glad to be here. So welcome to you, Lizzie, and hello, everybody. Welcome. Thank you for being with us, wherever you are and whenever you are. I think I've been saying this for the 200 and something times that I've been introducing a week, that we know that people live, of course, but listen all over the world and listen and watch at all different kind of times. So we're recording this at the very end of May 2026, but you may be receiving this at some completely other time, and you are equally welcome. And in a moment, we'll do what we do every week, which is we're going to put a source, a piece of writing that this week you've chosen, Lizzie. We're going to put it in the middle between us. And then it's going to be a sort of three-way unhurried conversation between you, Lizzie, and me, and this wonderful source by William Martin. And we know that as well as being a three-way conversation, it's also a four and a five and a six and a hundred and a thousand-way conversation, because it's also with all of you who are with us watching and listening. And we know it's also inside you, and that we also know that many of you then go and talk to other people about the source and about the conversation. So this conversation spreads out into the world. And Lizzie, I've been thinking quite a lot over the last couple of weeks about how the demands of the wider culture seem to ask us all the time to go faster and shallower, more and more and more, and less and less and less of deep contact with things. That's the sort of prevailing mode at the moment. And so it's something to take a source. This source has just a few lines in it, and really spend some time with it, which is what we're going to do, and really be unhurried with it. It's a rare privilege. So thanks for doing that with me, and thank you all of you who stay and keep on coming back, and who share this with other people so that they can benefit too, to have a place where we can be unhurried together. It's important. And I know, because in fact, I had a conversation, Lizzie, with someone this week who's a very regular listener to this, who was saying what an important practice, a sort of counter practice in their life it is, to really take some time to slow down and deepen into something and immerse into something in an unhurried way. Before we begin, I also want to say that there are a few opportunities, if you're listening, that you have to be in conversation with us and with others and in contact with us. So the first is the ordinary one, which is you can go to our turningtowards.life website and you can sign up for our weekly emails. You can also email us there, and we love to respond. And so many things going on, Lizzie. And we are accepting applications to join our third season of Turning Towards Life Live, which is a monthly gathering on Zoom to do this together, what we're doing this morning. It's wonderful. We're midway through our second season. And the third season opens in September. And if you want to join us, you can go and see the dates and you can reserve a place now, and then you can join us. And on September, did we say the 7th and 8th, Lizzie? And we looked it up and then I've forgotten. On September the 7th and 8th, which is a Monday and Tuesday, 2026, Lizzie, you and I, for the first time in ages, are together leading, teaching the Third Space Foundations of Integral Development Coaching programs. 2-day online program you can join from anywhere in the world. It's wonderful. It's a joy to lead it together and teach it together, Lizzie. But it's also an entry into the kind of commitment and work and possibility that Third Space is up to in the world. And if you are at all interested in joining us, we'll send out details in the email. We'll put it in the show notes. You can go to wearethirdspace.org. What a wonder it would be, Lizzie, to have among whichever group assembles for that, to have people who know us this way. And you might come because you know us this way and you want to have a chance to spend a couple of days learning with us, which is a great joy. So that's September the 7th and 8th. You can find all of this in the weekly email and on the Turning Towards Life website, turningtowards.life. And I think I've done quite enough preamble now, Lizzie. So I'm handing over to you.
Thank you for a beautiful preamble, Justin. Hello, everyone. Just to say, I'm on the verge of sneezing all the time. I think I've got some strange newly arrived hay fever. So we'll see how this goes. You know, when you can feel a sneeze coming. I feel like I'm in the feeling of the sneeze coming, but it's not coming kind of thing. Anyway, here we are. And we have the wonderful William Martin between us, Justin. I have to say as well, I reach for William Martin when anything is going awry in my life, and he writes me every time. He has these beautiful books, one for couples, one for parenting, and he has many more as well. And they're all about the Tao and the way. And he, I think his life's mission, as I've understood it, is to make the Tao more accessible to us mere less advanced humans. And I benefit from it so much. So here we are. This is called Journey's End by William Martin. This is from his website, and I would advise visiting it anytime to feel connected to something deeper than our normal thing that we're pulled into, Justin, like you said, in our normal culture of speediness and surfaceness. It's the opposite of that. So here we are, Journey's End. I've reached the end of my journey, not at all a giving up on life. Simply no more striving, seeking, searching, trying, maintaining, growing, gaining. No more reading to improve myself. No more spiritual practices seeking God. No more interest in insights. I'm at the still point of the journey and seeing for the first time that it is where I've always been. Deep breath, happy sigh, quail strutting on the wall.
This is Journey's End by William Martin. And if you are able, whilst you're listening, you might want, if you're in the middle of something else, just to pause for a moment if you haven't paused already whilst we read this. And also you can find the words in the show notes and on the website and in the email, as well as on William Martin's website, which we'll link to. Journey's End. I've reached the end of my journey. Not at all a giving up on life. Simply no more striving, seeking, searching, trying, maintaining, growing, gaining. No more reading to improve myself. No more spiritual practices seeking God. No more interest in insights. I'm at the still point of the journey's end, seeing for the first time that it is where I've always been. Deep breath, happy sigh, quail strutting on the wall.
Thank you, Justin. Oh, where to begin? So, I don't see many people being reflective like this when they're towards the end of their life. I think William Martin's 81 at the moment. I think maybe you're writing this too, just from reading around this poem on his website. Maybe he's a little older now. And I'm 45. And I guess I've accepted William Martin as an elder or something in my system, in my life. And to have his telling me that at the still point of what he's calling his journey's end, it's where he's always been, somehow is bringing me to that alwaysness here, which is also when he was 45, that still point was where he was really. And then just receiving that as an invitation to know that whether I'm at the end or in the middle, or, and who knows if I'm at the end, I mean, anything could happen. But the still point is always and has always been here. And it really resonates with me. There's something definitely that doesn't change in me. There's all kinds of things that evolve and shift in me, but there's a presence and a something essential that feels consistent in my life. And when I look at other people, like you have a consistency in you, Justin, that in whatever evolving ways you've become this self now, there's always something that I can feel and know that has always been the Justin-ness. And so I feel William Martin's invitation to the Lizzie-ness, to the Justin-ness, to the us-ness that is enduring and existing beyond everything that happens and doesn't happen. And that he's connecting that with giving up on striving, seeking, searching, trying, maintaining, growing, gaining. And it's not a giving up on life, but it's a giving up on the things that feel burdensome, whilst still engaging fully, whilst still earning a living, whilst still doing the things that need to be done. And as a mum of young children, there's definitely no giving up going on here. But the invitation to give up on the things that maybe feel, and that I can see from this poem as I reflect on my own life, the things that are unnecessary on the underneath of things that allow me to be more natural, more in the moment, more deeply contactful, as you said, Justin, with whatever's in front of me, whoever's in front of me, that I might do that instead of searching, seeking, trying, gaining, maintaining, all those things. Feels like a big, life-giving, deep breath and a return to some kind of deeply sane way of living.
It was lovely hearing you talk about all of this, Lizzie, and the we've read, if we haven't had this in Turning Towards Life in all of our 451 episodes, and we may have done, and I can't remember, we should find it again. A poem by William Stafford about the thread that we follow in life, that we can never let go of the thread, and the sense of there being, when you look my way and say, well, there's always a something here that's just in the midst of all the things that change. And I can look at you and say, well, we've been sitting across, we've known one another a long time, Lizzie, but we've been sitting across from one another doing this for nearly 10 years. Like, we're heading towards 10 years next year. So just sitting and looking at somebody every week and being in conversation, you really get this feel that as our bodies change because we grow older, there's also something that doesn't change. So it's a wonderful, wonderful gift to sit and do this. And one of the things that really strikes me about William Martin's poem here is that all the things that he's letting go of are in a way moves away from himself. So I was thinking about this. I was having exactly this thought just this week that I'm particularly taken by this line, no more spiritual practices seeking God. And I was thinking about the story, any of us who've sort of encountered various kinds of self-development traditions or spiritual traditions might think that, oh, what I'm meant to do is I'm meant to be an enlightened one. I have to work very, very hard to get enlightened, whatever that is, you know, to sort of see the truth of existence. And what I got thinking about it was, well, that is some people's something. It really is. But it's not everyone's, and it might not be mine. Like, mine is to be myself. And this one time something that is Justin and this one time something that is Lizzie in a way, it's really easy to imagine that what are the main thing we ought to be up to in our life is kind of getting away from ourselves. I have to stop being me in order to be a something else. And I think that William is inviting us into discovering the something that we already were right from the start, like finding out and settling into that. It's a completely different orientation. And as he said, it's not at all a giving up. It's not a kind of passivity. There will only be one Lizzie like you in the whole of the existence of the universe, and there will only be one Justin like me. So this invitation from William to imagine what it would be like to not have to improve myself all the time as if I'd become something different, to not seek enlightenment from somewhere else all the time, but to soften into and to return to contact with the one that we already are. And it's a kind of language that you've used very often here, Lizzie, which I want to just draw attention to, which is about receiving our own lives. It's such a different orientation to go from self-improvement, 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 get over myself, get away from myself, become something else, to being ones who will actually allow ourselves to receive this one life that we're in the midst of and discover that life itself might be showing us and telling us who and what we are so that we can live in the ripeness and fullness of ourselves. And it's hard to talk about because it sounds like William's really taken trouble to do this. It sounds like you say, well, if I'm not striving to be something else, something bigger, better, whatever, I must be being passive. I must have given up. And actually, not at all. There's really something to pay attention to here. But it was here all along. It wasn't over there or in the beyond or over the mountains or across the sea. It was right here from the beginning. You said you're 45 and I'm 56 and William is 81 or 82. And none of us know what our journey's end will be. We, like you said, we really don't know because none of us know what our lifespan will be. So I wonder what it is then to take that invitation of really receiving the fullness of our own one that we are, as if we might live for decades and decades and decades, and at the same time as if our lives might end today. Like to hold both together at the same time so that we don't forget to only get to this when we're 81 or 82 or 85 or 93 if we live that long.
I'm noticing, Justin, in this practice of listening to you and having William with us, and these threads that we're talking about, this kind of creative aliveness is happening in me, where I'm feeling all these wonderings kind of bubbling to the surface. And I'm appreciating in this moment, as you said, there's really something here. And as we get present with one another here, I notice that things arise that wouldn't be here if I just carried on habitually going through my morning. So I'm just having a moment of recognizing the practice, of recognizing the stillness, the still point maybe that William's inviting us into, where without the seeking and the trying and the searching and all the things, there is creative upwelling, which in a way is, you know, like you said, we don't know when we're going to die. We also maybe don't know that there is this creative well inside of us that is ever giving. We doubt that so heavily that we just don't even turn towards it ever. I feel that in myself. Like if I just stopped, maybe there would be nothing and maybe it would be empty. So I better not do that. But as I'm sitting here and we have this gentle, safe way of being in conversation, I'm feeling contact with that creative well and lots of wonderings and ideas and threads and reflections being here that are from just living a life, a simple morning that's happened so far with nothing that's really happened. And I can feel all these threads that we could pull on together. And I'm really grateful to know that, to have evidence of that, you know, between us, that when we sit and we be together and we wonder slowly, that there's something here between us and in each of us that's worthy of our saying. And that's true for everyone. And the thing that was coming amongst many other things was, I went to the circus last night. And there's something about the circus that is, it was so relational. There was so much trust in it. It was so beautiful and creative and inspiring and alive. And it wasn't the thing that was going to make everything better or help me to find what I was looking for. I wasn't going to gain anything particular by going. You know, it was, but it was so alive. And I could feel this whole tent of people enlivened by this particular beautiful, traditional, simple, straightforward, funny, enlivening experience. And somehow, Justin, I'm making the connection between the still point and this self that you're talking about, like being myself, the connection between that and playfulness and kind of freedom to be oneself. And whatever that looks like. And of course, all these people in the circus were like really random talents. Like one lady spinning these kind of material squares on her feet and her hands at the same time whilst being dangled from the roof. I was thinking, thank God the circus is here, because you have a place to show us this really random thing. And that's what she can do, and she does do, and she does it brilliantly. And it doesn't tick any of the boxes of our cultural meta stories of what we should be doing in the world. And I felt so glad. Like if the world can't meet me, there's the circus. And it was such a relief to feel that there might be a home for all of the places that are diverse and different to the mainstream thing that we're all told that we might be in the world. So your invitation to us being ourselves, as opposed to being enlightened, or as opposed to being successful, or as opposed to being perfect, or whatever we might have as our agenda, also really resonates with me. And also what a relief, because I feel like I have more chance of being myself than I do being enlightened. I've tried being enlightened, and it's quite hard. And it's important, and it's beautiful, and it's just inherently kind of flawed, because we are us, and we have histories, and we have ancestry, and we have circumstances, and we have complexity, and all the things. So all of the paths to enlightenment, many of them have had a profound impact on me. But the bit that I don't want to take from it is the standard that I have to reach somewhere, or I have to get somewhere in order to, for this all to be worth it or something. And so your invitation to be myself, and having just been to the circus and thinking there's a lot of being selfing going on there, is a really beautiful little joining point.
I love that you're bringing in the circus, because I can really feel it. It's so, the circus is so, I mean, the circuses are deliberately countercultural. They say, we're going to value people doing weird stuff, you know, and we'll make it, you know, we'll make an economic model around it so people can get paid something. And, you know, they've sort of, but it's on the fringes. Circuses are always fringe places. Yeah, you know, this conversation about enlightenment, whatever that means, but I'm taking it to mean people who've somehow transcended their identification with their own particular bodies and have become of deep service to other people, regardless of whatever deep indestructible kindness and compassion. And like you say, there's so much to learn from those paths. So it's so important not to have our conversation and or read William as a kind of binary, well, throw all of that away. Of course it's not that. And at the same time, maybe it's true that some people's what life brings forth from them is the path to that kind of enlightenment, but it's not all of ours. And the mistake that we make is to look at those traditions and go, well, I have to be like that person, rather than asking the question, what am I being asked to be that's here, that's mine? What's being offered to me or asked of me, or what's alive in me? There are whole different ways of looking. And I think, so I really appreciated what you said, Lizzie, that we can learn from everyone. Like there's something to learn from every path that we can bring into our lives. But the question is, what's here? What's this one? And as you were talking, there was something that you said in it. I think you talked about the ones who came before. I thought, you know, if I look at you, because I'm looking at you, I could say the same about me. And I think about what it took for the universe to bring about you. Like the sheer unlikeliness that you are here. Because if any one of your ancestors had failed to reproduce before they died, and there were a lot of ancestors, billions of them going all the way back, everything had to succeed. And all of the cost of it, you know, the staying alive, the growing, the caring as we evolved into creatures that care for one another, all of that that lands with you. The universe has already paid, has already invested a lot, I suppose, is the way to say it. Poured a lot of life in. And I think that one of the mistakes that we make growing up in living at this time in history, certainly where you and I live, Lizzie, is that we've really, in our wider sense, lost the sense that you and I and everyone is absolutely sacred, that we are an expression of we're already an expression of, and then you can use lots of words, so I don't want to sound too religious about it, but I'll say God or the divine or the one presence or life itself. We already are that, and life has already invested so much in us being here, and then here we are, and then we think, well, I'm a sort of object. I've got to reprogram myself or upgrade myself or something. And we do that to one another rather than saying, wow, Lizzie, look at you. This unique and shining presence of which there will never be another one. I wonder what you're here for. I wonder what happens as you ripen into yourself ever more. It's just as a whole different way of looking from treating ourselves as if we were kind of cosmic accidents who ought not to be here, or treating ourselves as if we were machines or improvement projects or something. And like you keep on saying, and like William's saying, that doesn't mean giving up on our lives. Quite the opposite. But there's something about somehow we don't see ourselves. It's so hard to see ourselves and one another as lit from within by the presence that we are sort of expressions of life itself. And life doesn't really need us all to be the same as one another. I mean, life is replete with creativity and diversity. What if we look at ourselves, what if I look at you as an extraordinary expression of life's creativity and want to help you be that, the particular form of creativity that life has led to, whatever that is. And thank goodness there are people who know to go and spin cloth on their, cloth squares on their arms and legs whilst they're hoisted up to the roof, because that is an expression of life's extraordinariness. And when you go to the circus, you get to be in contact with it. And that person who may have a very difficult life in all kinds of ways right now in their life isn't trying to escape themselves, but is finding a way to skillfully express themselves in the world. I think that's what William is asking of us when he says, I'm at the still point that's where I've always been, is to keep on finding that out and to help one another find that out, which I think is what coaching is for, the way that we practice it and teach it, which is because so few of us have someone who'll come along and go, what kind of life is this one? How can I be part of the process of supporting you in receiving your life and unfolding into the one that you fully are, like a flower unfolds into itself, when mostly we're telling ourselves, get better, improve, don't be that. It's possible to ask a different kind of question to one another.
I'm feeling this invitation to kind of boldness coming up in me, Justin, of, well, if we are being asked to consider and maybe practice in the direction of letting go of all of the striving and all of the seeking and the searching, and it leads me to go, well, okay, so if I let go of any way that I'm trying to be anything that is of that order, what if I was just honest, straightforward, and just said and did things that felt aligned with who I am, and took some risks and just headed towards the feelings of self-expression and whatever that would look like? I'm feeling bolder and braver almost. Because also I can see all the safety in all of this. I can see all the safety in the striving and the safety in the seeking and the gaining and the growing. It feels safe to do those things because it's what we should be doing. And as I see how kind of safe and normal that stuff is, normal meaning the normal thing, the norm that we do that stuff, and we'll always do it. But there's a way that I'm feeling invited into, I guess, the divergence from that, of doing what feels like mine rather than a thing that got told to me that I should be doing. And what is it to live a life where I take up my version of the spinning things on my arms and legs in any moment as well? Not like a hobby or something, but like in any moment, how do I be a person who discerns what's mine and what's not mine as aligned with the expression of me in the world? And so just because I'm good at something, for example, doesn't mean I should do it. Like, does it feel like it belongs to me or not? Maybe it does, but maybe it doesn't. And I was talking to somebody yesterday about how university life used to be kind of a given thing, and now everyone's questioning everything about it. And I remember at that time, I kind of just did the things I was good at, but I didn't do what I longed for. No one had the conversation with me about what I really longed for, what could be my unique expression of me in the world and how that would align with different subjects or whatever. So I didn't really ever get a chance, really, until our work, I think, Justin, to be a full expression of myself. Because I wasn't in any kind of conscious conversation about what my essential Lizziness was an expression or an affordance for in the world, and how to align that with what was on offer. And so maybe I should have been in the circus or something. But I don't think I should have done management sciences in French at university and just gone with the thing that felt like, oh, well, I should do that because it's here and I don't know what else to do. And it was not very conscious and not very wholesome the way that I decided the directionality of my life at that time. And having this now as a kind of a compass of what does it mean for each of us, as you were saying, Justin, to be ourselves in the world, and letting that be the question, the central question, and how do we find a life that's an expression of that? How do we create a life that's an expression of that versus doing the thing that we should do to be safe? And bringing that to the beginning of life, to our children and to education and all of those places where they're these like bright, open-eyed, wide-hearted souls wondering what this life is for, feels very meaningful to me. So I kind of want to thank William for the journey's end to teach the beginning, and how that's what eldership surely should be. Is that we get to know the things we know, but we feed it back down the chain again so that people can know different things at the end of their life because of the way that we fed them with our knowledge from the end all the way to the beginning again. So I had the thought of, well, I don't know whether this is appropriate to bring to Tony Towards Life, because it's, we're not at our journey's end, really. We're not elderly. And as we said, we don't know what's going to happen. But I think the purpose of partly of William writing this has to be that it benefits everybody along the way, not just people who are at the journey's end.
Wonderful, Lizzie. Well, I'm looking at how long we've been talking for, and I think it's probably time that we end for this week. There's so much more to say. One of the things I always think is we could go on for hours with this, but not sure many people would listen for hours and hours and hours. So for those of you who are at the, who stayed with us for the half hour of this conversation, which is what we always promise to do, thank you for being with us, and thank you for being in this with me, Lizzie, doing this together, and all being well, we'll be back next week.
We will. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Justin.
Bye, everyone.